Okay, as we look in the scriptures for a few moments together, we are in the Gospel of John chapter 20 this morning, and as we go through this passage of scripture, and I want to look at a question that was asked in this passage, and it's this question: why are you weeping? Why are you crying? Oh woman, why are you crying? And when we look here, this story of the resurrection has been told many times, but it can be fresh to our souls this very morning. So let's read the passage, John 20, verse 1. Now the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and she saw the stone had been taken away from the tomb. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him." Peter therefore went out, and the other disciples, and they were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciples outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. And he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also, and he saw and believe. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. The disciples went away again to their own homes. But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting, one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I don't know where they have laid him." Now when she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your God, and to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples she had seen the Lord, and that he had spoken these things to her. Lord, we ask you to give us some understanding of the Word of God today, Lord. We pray that we'll be affected and touched by the truth that's in the Bible, Lord. By the very truth that you have given to us by the Holy Spirit, that we might understand and know who Jesus Christ really is. Amen. They went to the tomb, and they went for a purpose. The best that they could get out of the deal, as far as they was concerned, was to be able to minister to Jesus one more time. Though Jesus had predicted over and over again that he was going to rise from the dead, that he was going to die on a cross, and that he would rise, they didn't hear that part. And you have to understand that the disciples had forsaken everything to follow Jesus. They put all their hopes in Jesus Christ. And for the most part, they thought that he was going to end up being crowned as a physical king over the nation of Israel. That's what they thought. And everything went to pieces on them. Everything was gone. This one that they had followed faithfully for 3 years suddenly was put to death. I don't know, along the way, they must have imagined at some point all of a sudden something would happen. God would step in with fire and brimstone and blast all the ones that were going to put him to death. They must have assumed that somewhere along the line this would never happen, that Jesus would actually die. And it was something for him to die, but then he was dead, 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 3 days dead. That's good and dead, isn't it? 3 days dead. There wasn't any question left. They saw him, especially a couple of these women, because they hung around the cross. All the men took off, but the women stayed. Imagine, huh? Yeah, John did. But most of the men took off, right? But the women stayed and watched. They watched Jesus dying there. And Mary Magdalene was one of those. Indeed, Mary Magdalene was one who had followed Jesus Christ because he had done something wonderful for her. And we read about that in Luke chapter 8. It says this: "Afterward, Jesus journeyed from one town and village to another, preaching and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God. Accompanying him were the 12 and some women who had been cured of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, from whom seven demons had gone out, Joanna, the wife of Herod's steward, Chuza, Susanna, and many others who provided for them out of their resources. So we find that Mary Magdalene, along with other women, traveled with Jesus. Have you ever wondered, as Jesus and his disciples went traveling through the desert and went from town to town preaching and everything, how did they eat? How did they eat? There were women who provided out of their resources, who served. Incredibly gifted women who loved the Lord and who loved the work of God and were involved in the ministry. Don't think that just 12 disciples were involved in the ministry. These women were integrally involved in helping to provide. It is not a small thing when people provide a meal, is it? It is not a small thing. The Bible calls it one of the gifts that God gives to us in the church, the gift of hospitality. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to come every week here and have a meal provided. And some are serving in wonderful ways. And that is as important as it is to be getting up and preaching. Yes.
Especially for 13 people.
That's right. That's right. It's not just feeding one guy, but feeding 13 people. You're right. And so Mary Magdalene was one of these women that served Jesus. But she was one of these women that had an awful past. She had a past where she was completely ruined. A completely ruined woman. Now some people would say it's the woman that came in and washed Jesus' feet with her hair. But there isn't any evidence that there's no name given to that particular lady. That's just an assumption. But we do know the Bible says that she had seven demons within her. Possessed by seven different demons inside of her body. And that would have made her do some pretty crazy things. She was a ruined, broken woman. But Jesus, somewhere in his journey, saw her and reached out and touched her and set her free and delivered her from these demonic powers. She was a free woman. But though she was a free woman, what was her passionate desire? To worship Jesus Christ and to honor him. Now I know there's been some scandalous movies that have come out that have nothing to do with the Gospels, friends. It is the perverted minds of men that have tried to make somehow that Mary Magdalene was a lover of Jesus in a physical way. That is not true. Far from it. That's right. It's just to seek to degrade the person of Jesus Christ, who taught the sanctity of marriage and the sanctity of sex in the marriage place only. And so we see that Mary Magdalene, of whom we cast seven demons out, was a servant of the Lord. And she was the one that was there at the cross as well. Mark 15:40 says, there were also women looking on from a distance, that is looking at the cross, among whom were Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less, and Josie and Salmon. And among them was Mary Magdalene, Matthew 27:56 says the same. John 19:25 says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. So there she is, seen there as well at the time when he was laid in the grave. We discover Matthew 27:61. And Mary Magdalene was there, the other Mary, sitting opposite the grave. And this is where they saw where he was laid. They went to see where the grave was. Mary Magdalene pursued Jesus. She pursued him through his life, and when he was dead, she didn't stop pursuing him. Why? Because all her hope was in Jesus Christ. There was no hope anywhere else. He was her deliverer. He was her savior. And she wasn't going to settle for anything less than Jesus. I wonder what you settle for. Do you pursue Jesus? Is he the number one in your life? Is he the one that you put first in your experience day by day? Sometimes you may not feel him like you would. Like Mary, of course, wasn't experiencing him after he had died. But did that stop her from pursuing him? No. She didn't care about anything else but to be with Jesus. So much so that if only she could even get the privilege of anointing his dead body, which they weren't allowed to do over the Passover time. They had to wait until the Passover was over before they could go. And that's why Jesus laid in the ground without being anointed with spices, which was the typical thing that they did when they buried a body in Jewish custom. But when the time came on the first day of the week, Mary and a couple of other ladies said, let's go down to the tomb and let's anoint his body with spices. And so they headed down there for that purpose. But when they got there, they got a great surprise. We saw that what happened when they landed there they discovered that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. They were there very early. It was still dark, it says. Then she ran and came to Simon Peter. What did they do? They rushed back to tell the disciples, the apostles, they've taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have laid him. They assumed that the body of Jesus had been stolen and taken away by the soldiers. And so they run to tell Peter, says, we don't know where they've laid the Lord. That's all she cared about. So Peter went out, and the other disciple, who's John, he was the one writing this, they went down to the tomb. They all ran down together. You see, they both ran together. And the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. John was a faster runner than Peter. You never knew that. But he was. What's that? He was younger. That's right. Peter was married. You know what marriage does? It kind of softens you up. That's right. Well, John outran him. But when he stooped down and looked in, he saw the linen clothes lying there. Yet he didn't go in. Detail. Because this wasn't fiction. This wasn't fairy tale. This was detailed truth. They looked. He wasn't there. Then Peter came, followed him. But Peter went down into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there. The handkerchief that had been around his head. Not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together by itself in another place. The grave clothes were there, and it wasn't the shroud of Turin, let me tell you, because the shroud of Turin is one piece of cloth that goes this way. The Bible says there was a separate piece of cloth around his head and another piece of cloth around his body. And so that shroud of Turin has got nothing to do with the truth. Wouldn't matter if it was. There's no holiness in a piece of cloth, friends. The holiness is in Jesus himself. But he wasn't there. They saw the clothes were neatly folded away. Then the other disciple who came to the tomb first went in also. And he saw and believed. But at this point, what did they believe? They believed that he was gone. They believed somebody took away his body. They didn't quite believe the testimony of Mary Magdalene, but now they believe that somehow the body of Jesus was gone. But where? Where did it go? And let's see what happens next. What happens? For as yet they did not know the scripture, he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. You see that? What did they do? They went away. They said, oh, okay, it's all over, done with, let's get out of here. We're done, we're cooked, it's finished. They went away. And we will find that they found themselves in terror. They were afraid as well to get arrested and maybe crucified themselves. But let's find out where Mary Magdalene was. Where was she? But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. She didn't have a home to go to, friends. She had had nothing but Jesus. And now he was gone. There was nothing left. There was no life to go back to. There was nothing to go back to. All her life was Jesus Christ. All her passion was Jesus Christ. All her fire was Jesus Christ. And it was gone. She was weeping. Is there any reason? You see why she was weeping?
Yeah.
She was weeping because she had lost everything. Everything. Because for her, Jesus was everything. That's right. Friends, when you understand who Jesus really is, you will discover that Jesus is everything. Maybe you haven't had seven demons in you, but let me tell you, you did have sin. And you had sin that would take you there to the very flames of hell, but Jesus died for your sins. And if you've trusted him as your Savior today, you've been rescued by him. And you've been entered into this whole new life and this new experience with him. And Mary seemed as if she had lost it all. So as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. You can picture her there, crying her eyes out. It's all over. It's all done. My Jesus, the one who died for me, the one who had done all of this for me, the one who delivered me. And then, suddenly, a tomb that was a few moments ago empty, she looks in and what does she find? Two angels in white, sitting one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had lain. How did Peter and John miss that?
They didn't wait around.
I guess they didn't wait around. Listen, it's worthwhile to pursue Jesus. It's worthwhile to take a little longer in his presence. It's worthwhile to open your Bible and read it maybe a little bit longer and spend a little longer in prayer and seek the Lord. You never know what might be revealed to you if you take the time to meet with God. It's so easy just to give up and go home. It's so easy just to take the easy path and not to take the time to seek the Lord. Seek and you shall find. Isn't that what the Word of God says? And so these angels spoke to her. Mary got special revelation because she stayed longer. She waited longer to hear from God. They said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" This is special effects here. She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Why are you weeping? "They've taken away my Lord, and we don't know where, I don't know where they've laid him. That's why I'm crying. I'm missing Jesus. I want Jesus." That's what she says. "I want Jesus." Why was she weeping? Because she was seeking the Lord. When she said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, but did not know that it was him. She couldn't have imagined it could have been him. She thought he was the gardener. That's what it says. She supposed he was the gardener. But Jesus spoke to her and said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" There it is again. Why are you crying? Whom are you seeking? He didn't say what. He said, "Who are you seeking?" Right? It wasn't a dead body. She didn't know it wasn't a dead body, but she was seeking as much as she knew. Listen, seek God as much as you can. Look for him as much as you understand. You might not understand it all. You might be cloudy from a lot of things about God, but look for God, because if you seek him, you will find him. And you will find more than what you ever dreamed of. She was looking for a dead body, but what did she get? The resurrected Jesus. The resurrected Savior. And so, she, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away. Please, sir, where have you laid him?" And Jesus said to her, one word, what was it? He said her name. He said her name. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." There the good shepherd spoke the name of his sheep, Mary Magdalene. He said simply, "Mary." And there was no mistaking it now. She knew who he was then. She'd heard that voice before. She'd heard that voice speak into her life before. And suddenly the lights came on. And she turned and said to him, "Rabboni," which is to say, teacher or master. And obviously what she did, she wanted to cling to him. She wanted to say, "Oh, you're alive, you're real, you're here. Can it be that you're risen from the dead?" Jesus said, "Don't cling to me, for I've not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." What Jesus was saying is, I'm not staying the way I was before. It isn't the same arrangement as before. Physically, I'm not the same. I've risen from the dead. I've conquered death, and I'm going up. I'm going up to heaven. You can't keep me here. I'm going up. But of course he was going to send the Holy Spirit. He was going to go up so that the Holy Spirit could come down. And the Holy Spirit would come down and live inside of Mary Magdalene and every other blood-bought Christian. Everyone who trusts in the Lord. Every single one would find themselves in a place where if you're a Christian, you would receive the Holy Spirit into your life and he will come in. But he said, "It's not a physical relationship, Mary. It's a spiritual one. I'm going up." But he says more than us, "I'm going up." He says, "I'm going to my Father. And you're going to say to them, I'm sending you my Father and your Father, my God and your God." He's saying, "I am going to bring you into the presence of God. You're adopted, Mary. It's not just me you're involved with here. You're involved with the Father. And that we're one. My Father is your Father. My God is your God, Mary. Mary, you've been won. You've been bought. You've been brought in to this wonderful kingdom. And I'm looking after it all. I'm going up. But I'm going up for the purpose of blessing and pouring out blessing on us all." Friends, this story can teach us much about what we need to do. Follow Jesus. Pursue Jesus. You know, if I asked you the question in your life, have you often wept? I'm sure you could say yes. Have you not shed tears of sorrow? Have you not shed tears of trouble? Have you not shed tears of agony in your life? This is an agonizing time for Mary because she was seeking the Lord. And she was weeping. There was no holding back. She was shedding great tears. Listen, the Bible teaches us that life is a veil of sorrows, a veil of tears. Life is a troublesome place. people go through hardships and trials. When we look in the Bible, we see like a person like the Apostle Paul, who says this, Paul himself, from the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. That's a lot. That's 39 stripes, 5 times. Pardon me?
Is that what Jesus got?
I'm sorry?
Is that what Jesus got? He said 39 stripes.
Yes. Yes. But Paul got it 5 times.
5 times.
5 times. 3 times I was beaten with rods, beaten with sticks. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I've spent in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in dangers of robbers, in danger of my own countrymen, in dangers of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils amongst false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness, often in hunger and thirst, in fastings, often in cold and in nakedness. Besides the other things that comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches. The Apostle Paul is saying, I've had it rough. And maybe some of you could say today, I've had it rough. And I weep. And I've wept over a lot of different things in my life. Why are you weeping? But I want you to know something. That no matter how rough we've had it, there is a place we can go to find consolation. Mary was weeping, but she found consolation at the feet of Jesus Christ. She wept because she wanted to know Jesus more. Sometimes we weep over things that are very fleeting. Jonah was a prophet, and Jonah was given the privilege of telling the people of Nineveh to repent. And he told them, and they did, but Jonah was mad because he didn't want to do that. And God gave him a shade tree. That's what God gave Jonah, a shade tree. This gourd plant grew up overnight, and it gave shade to Jonah. And suddenly, when God didn't judge Nineveh, Jonah was very mad at God. He said, I told you they'd repent. Now here I am. I went and had to go and preach to these people, and they didn't, and they turned from their sins. Why did you bother me with all this? And so God withered the plant over Jonah. You know what Jonah did? He was really mad at God because he took away his shade tree. He took away my shade tree. He was mad. He was weeping for the wrong reasons. There's a good weeping and there's a bad weeping. Sometimes we weep over the foolish things. And sometimes we really do have pain and sorrow in our heart. Sometimes we go through it, really through it in life. You know, the Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You think Paul went through life, la-di-da-di-da? You think he was going, oh, whoopee, hit me again with that whip. Do you think? 39 whips, 5 times? No. He went through deep trial, deep sorrow, deep suffering. But he considered it worth it all because he had Christ. Because he knew Jesus. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 36, others had trials and mockings and scourgings, yes, chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God, having provided something better for us, they should not be made perfect apart from us. He's talking about the Old Testament saints. They went through it. But they had hope. They had hope by faith. They were willing to die. They were willing to pursue God in the face of persecution and trials and all kinds of circumstances because they believed God. They believed in Jesus Christ as much as they knew in the Old Testament. And now here's Mary who believes and is seeking God, and she's going through it. She's weeping. The other disciples went back home. Maybe they were discouraged, but Mary kept on seeking, and she discovered Jesus. You know, the first one to see the resurrected Lord was Mary Magdalene. The first one to declare the good news that Jesus rose from the dead was Mary Magdalene. Why did she get such a privilege as that? Because she, that's right, she sought the Lord. She put him first. The trials and the troubles of life, weeping over those things is one thing. But to weep in the sense where I want God more than anything else, that was Mary's heart. And she was rewarded. My friends, the best news you could know is that Christ died for your sins, and that he rose from the dead, and that you can have him as your own personal Savior, and that he will be with you in the trials and troubles of life. And though Mary had to go looking to try to find the risen Savior, you don't have to go very far. You don't have to go far. What Mary did not know, you know. You know that he is risen from the dead. And you can put your trust in him and find him to be a wonderful Savior. The joy that must have come to Mary's heart when she heard those words, that word, Mary. Everything changed. Everything changed. Every tear was dry now because she saw the Savior of the world. Her Redeemer. Pardon? Oh, no question. No question now. She wasn't looking at a gardener anymore. She realized who he really was. The precious Son of God. Can I encourage you today in the resurrection of Jesus Christ to know that you serve a risen Savior, to know that he is alive and present, and that if you seek, you will find, that you can enjoy him, you can be with him. Don't hold back, don't spare, but look for the Lord. Open your Bible, read it, pray, put the Lord first in your life. Don't miss the blessings. Those disciples missed some great blessings because they just went on out home. They didn't tarry a little bit longer. Don't do that. I had a vivid experience of that many times, but this one particular time I was in PEI, and I was preaching. I was preaching for a week, and this last Sunday I was going to be preaching there. I felt a great need to meet with God and to get a word from the Lord. And so I got around 2 o'clock in the morning, this church I was in, there was an apartment in it, and Marie and I were staying there. So I would go down into the main part of the church and pray and walk and pray. And so probably around 2 in the morning, I went down and I began to seek the Lord and ask him, Lord, I need special blessings from you. I need food from heaven to give to the folks that come into this building later on this morning. So I was praying and seeking God, and it was about 5 o'clock, it was like I had a breakthrough with the Lord. Oh, the joy that flooded my soul. Oh, the experience of God that came upon me. And I was so full of joy. And God gave me a word to speak, but he also filled my soul. So then I looked at the clock and I said, oh, okay, thanks God. I think I'm going to go up to bed. So I started up the stairs. I was going to sleep for an hour or two. And it was just like he said to me, where are you going? You just got in my presence. You just experienced me. You think that's enough? Why don't you stay for a while? Well, you know, sometimes that's what we're like, isn't it? We're settled for the glimpses of the Lord, the little blessings. We don't dig a little deeper. We don't stay a little longer. We don't read a little more. We don't pray a little longer. And we miss so much, friends. Don't settle for just the blessing, the first blessing, because there's more and there's more and there's more in God. Don't miss it. Mary, she just didn't settle for the fact that she was there when Jesus was crucified. She had to be there when he was laid in the tomb. She had to be there whenever she was able to get there, because she knew on the first day of the week she could go down. She was going to be there. And so she was. But then she didn't take off when she found the tomb was empty. She stayed a little longer. She looked a little deeper. She went a little further. And she even wept over that issue because she wanted to be with Jesus more than anything else. And was she blessed? Oh, she was blessed. She got the vision of angels. The other guys didn't. She got the vision of angels. Furthermore than that, she got the vision of Jesus Christ himself. She got the blessing. You want the blessing? Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Don't settle for just the glimpses of blessings. Don't settle for Pierre's preaching, because you're not going to get very much out of that. You'll get a little. But it stir your heart to go home and seek the Lord more. But it stir your heart to look for him. To look for him in the morning on your own. To open that Bible and read it and pray. And find out, wow, this Jesus. Find out the joy that Mary experienced when she heard her name, Mary. Oh, Rabboni, teacher, master. It's you. It's really you. Every day, my friends, I need fresh revelation from God. Every day I need to meet with Jesus. I need him. I need that life-changing power that he can bring in my experience in yours. May God bless you to seek the Lord. May you weep for the right things. May you discover the reality of being with Jesus Christ. He's worth pursuing, friends. He's worth living for, and he's worth dying for, no matter what the world chases after, because they chase after empty things. We don't need to seek the living among the dead. We have a risen Savior today, and he loves every one of us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you this morning for resurrection power. We thank you, Lord, for the incredible Son of God who did die on the cross for our sins, who has risen from the dead, and who we can seek and find and enjoy your wonderful presence because of what you have done. Lord, draw us to you, O God, in the midst of this crazy world with all the other things that can distract us. Draw us to Jesus this very morning, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.